morning is a father with a very big heart. Father has many important roles to play within the home. They're all designed to enrich his life and indeed the lives of his children. When those roles are understood by him and pursued with determination, his whole family will be blessed. I think that becomes quite apparent in the passage of Scripture that we will be exploring this morning. This story is probably one of my favorite passages of Scripture in all of Scripture. Since the real hero of the story is the Father, I thought it might be a good one for us to look at on this Father's Day. I want us to consider some gifts this particular father gives his kids that I think makes him an amazing dad. Maybe we can, in turn, give these same gifts to those around us, whether they happen to be our children, or whether they happen to be other connections that we have within the world. But first, let's read the story and be refreshed with the details. It is that famous story Jesus told, is called the Prodigal Son. It's found in Luke chapter 15. I'd like us to all stand for the reading of the scripture. Jesus said there was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, "Father, give me my share of the estate." So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had and set off for a distant country and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. And so he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country and sent him into the fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare, and here I am starving to death? I'll set out and go back to my father and say to him, 'Father, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' So he got up and he went to his father. While still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. Ran to his son, threw his arms around him and kissed him. The son said to him, 'Father, Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' The father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fatted calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. Was lost and is found.' So they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field, and when he came near the house, he heard music and dancing and so he called to one of his servants and asked him what was going on. 'Your brother has come,' he replied, 'and your father has killed the fatted calf because he has him back safe and sound.' The older brother came, became very angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, 'Look, all these years I have been slaving for you and never disobeyed one of your orders. You never gave me a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours who has squandered your property with prostitutes comes home, you kill the fatted calf for him.' 'My son,' the father said, 'you're always with me, and everything I have is yours. We had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. That's the end of the rich of the reading of the scripture. You may be seated. Wow. What a heartwarming story. It's certainly filled with a lot of emotion, both from the standpoint of the two sons, but also from the father. Now, whenever I have heard sermons preached on this passage, it seems to me the greater focus has been placed on the wayward son. But on this Father's Day, I want us to focus our attention on the father. You see, I want us to discover important lessons we can learn from the way this father actually handled his two sons. Fathers play a very significant role in the lives of their children. This father was no exception. I want you to notice how he handles this very, very delicate situation. I think he had a deep understanding of the character and of the nature of his sons. So I believe we can gain some very important insights about dealing with kids in the 21st century. And indeed, handling people we meet who have characteristics that may be quite similar to that of the two sons. The first thing I would like you to note about this father is this. Number one, he gives freedom for his children to make mistakes. Gandhi put it this way. He said, freedom is not worth having if it does not involve the freedom to make mistakes. And I think that's very important. In this prodigal's home, you don't have to be perfect to belong. You don't have to have it all together. There is freedom to muck up at times. It's a good thing, too. Why do I say that? Because one son is an impetuous spendthrift. Have you ever met anyone like that? They spend all like there's no tomorrow. They have little concept of the value of the dollar. They don't consider whether they can afford it or not. They just go out and spend. And you may have someone like that in your home. You may have a close friend like that. They just don't know how to handle money. Try as you might, you can't seem to make them understand the dangers of going down that road. Well, the other son, he was quite a bit different. The other son was a prideful perfectionist. You might call such a person a neat freak. When you visit him or her, you feel like you're on pins and needles as you enter their domain. And that is especially true if your approach to life is not quite the same as theirs. Have you ever met anyone like that? So these two sons were as different as day and night. Let's start with the spendthrift, the younger son. Notice what he says to his dad. He says, Dad, I want my inheritance, and I want it now. I don't want to wait. What he was basically saying is this, Dad, I wish you were dead. Because, let's face it, an inheritance is not usually given until after a person dies. So how does the father respond? Well, you'd think he would say, absolutely not. I know what you'll do with it. You haven't got a clue how to handle money. I know you'll just go out there and you'll blow it. Of course, as we read the story, we discover that this father doesn't respond that way. Instead, he gives him exactly what he asks for. At that point, if you are reading the story for the very first time, you might be shaking your head in disbelief. You may be thinking to yourself, well, this is a very, very weak father. He should have stood up to his son. He should have tried to protect him from the ultimate calamity he could see taking place down the road. Isn't that what good parents are supposed to do? Now, we don't know the whole story, but we can guess that the father knows his son needs to learn this lesson the very hard way. You see, some kids are like that. You can try to get them to move in a certain direction, but some kids just don't want to do that. Some kids need the freedom to fail. It's the only way that they will actually come to their senses. It's because they think they know more than their parents. And no amount of explaining on the part of the parent will change their thinking on this matter. So this dad's parental style was to give his son the freedom to fail. And that's not an easy thing for a parent to do. We want to protect their children at all costs. But when we overtly protect them, what happens is this. Sometimes that child rebels inside. And thus a barrier is created between you and them that sometimes is never really resolved. Parents, you must learn what makes your child tick. Each one is different. We have four children. None of them are the same. They're all different. What works with one will not work with another child. And when you understand that, you will gain the wisdom in how to appropriately deal with the kind of situation that this father faced with one of his sons. Oh, by the way, that's a good approach to use not only for dads or moms, but for anyone in authority. Even in the army, commanders aren't afraid of failure. They want their subordinates to take risks, to try something new. You see, zero deficiency mentality is a recipe for disaster. And so it is with raising kids. Parents, you should not take your kids' mistakes personally. And when kids do stupid things, when they do get themselves in trouble, it's not the time to remind them of all the mistakes they've already made in the past. No, instead a parent must try and help them work through the mess they have gotten themselves into. But remember, it is important at times to give them the freedom to fail. Children must learn at some point to be responsible for their own actions. Here's something to remember. You see, the goal of parenting is to eventually work yourself out of the job. Did you know that? That's the responsibility of the parent. So that your children will learn to become self-sufficient adults. When children reach adulthood, they still need us as parents. But this is where we fulfill a different role. We need to become their biggest cheerleaders. So in this story today, the father gives his child the freedom to fail. Now along with that, he gives him something else. You know what it is? Forgiveness. He does that in order to give his son a second chance. Friends, oh, the power of forgiveness. So essential in the home. By the way, forgiveness by definition is never earned. It is an undeserved gift. Desmond Tutu put it this way, forgiveness is a gift that is freely given. So this is what happened between this father and this son. Since the dad notices the son a long way off, you know, I draw the conclusion that this dad had his son on his heart all the time. He couldn't forget about this son who had left home. And he longs within his heart to see him return. He has a forgiving heart before the son ever returns. He knows the son has probably messed up big time. He knows that if the son returns, most likely he will be a changed individual. But that would never have been achieved without letting him go and sow his wild oats. So when he sees him coming in the distance, he just can't wait to forgive. He wants to forgive him so, so much that he actually does the unthinkable thing in that culture. This patriarch of the family hikes up his robe and he rushes out to meet his son. A respectable Jewish man just wouldn't do that back then. This father is willing to humble himself in such a way that it only points out to an incredible, a very incredible act of forgiveness. Then there are the gifts the father gives his son. Each of these gifts that he gives the son are very, very significant. What's the significance of the robe? You see, by giving his son the robe, it means he welcomes him back as a son. What about the sandals? You see, when his son came back, he had no shoes on his feet. In that culture, no son would be caught barefooted. Remember when this son approached his dad, what did he say to his father? He said, "Father, I've sinned against heaven and sinned against you. And I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Let me be as one of your hired servants." The boy was willing to come back as a servant. And remember, servants didn't wear sandals. So when the father refused to let his son be a mere servant, he demonstrated that by having sandals put on his son's feet. What about the ring? When the father placed the ring on the hand of the son, he not only welcomed him back home as a son, but he once again gave him responsibility and authority in the home, because the ring would demonstrate that he had some authority within the home once again. Finally, why the banquet? Here's something you need to remember. Back then, you only killed the fatted calf on the most special of occasions. When you did that, you invited the entire village to share in that feast. It was like a block party. This father is saying to the whole community, "I don't care what my son has done in the past. I don't care how much he has messed up. I don't care how he has embarrassed me in my community. He's now a changed person. He has learned his lesson the hard way. And I want you to know that I no longer hold anything against him. I forgive him totally." Wow. What a big step that took on the part of the father. Because his son had embarrassed him to the core and brought shame to the family, this is something that would normally not be done. You see, that was all in the past. The son had learned his lesson and was much better for it. And parents, in the long run, that may be the best approach to use in a child who has the characteristics of this younger son. Indeed, it may be the best approach in handling a friend who has made the biggest mistake of their life because they wouldn't listen to your advice. Sometimes there is nothing more you can do or say. You have to allow them to fail. But when they come to their senses, don't say to them, "I told you so." But be there to support them when they reach out for your help. Well, in this story, it isn't just the younger son who needed forgiveness. This amazing dad pursues the older boy, too. Remember, he's the son filled with sanctimonious, self-righteous pride. He's the one who has always done the right thing, but at times maybe with the wrong attitude. His dad is willing to give him another chance as well. You know, the best dads allow for second chances, as do the best moms and the best friends and the best spouses. Why do I say that? Because we all know that someday we will need a second chance as well. Every one of us. We too will muck up at times. And if we're not willing to extend grace and forgiveness to others, it may not be there for us when we may need it as an individual as well. Granted, often we still have consequences for our decisions. In today's story, that was the case. You see, the younger son finds his family again, but listen, his inheritance is gone forever. You know what that meant regarding the banquet? Did you ever think of this? It means that the older son is actually footing the bill for the party. Because the money would have been taken from the estate that eventually would have belonged to him when his dad dies. You see, that may explain in part some of the older son's anger, but he too needed to learn to have a forgiving heart. His dad tried to help him see how much he needed to do that. So even with consequences of a bad judgment of the younger son and the bad attitude of the elder son, we see the father's full desire was to see reconciliation occur eventually in that home. This father seeks to reignite, to rejoin both his sons back into the family and have a good family relationship once again. So you can see this father needed a big heart. Friends, he was willing to go to the nth degree to achieve that goal. This father gives gifts of freedom for his son to make mistakes. He extends forgiveness where forgiveness was needed. And by doing so, he gave his son a second chance. But that's not all he does. Lastly, he bestows unmerited favor. See, the father deeply loves both his sons to the point that he takes the initiative to pursue each one. He does this regardless of how it may affect his financial standing or his reputation. His sons matter the most to him. I wonder how our relationships might change if we could learn to bestow favor on people who don't deserve it in our thinking. See, what that amounts to is radical agape kind of love. Why do I say that? Because human love tends to be conditional. If you do what I want you to do, then I will love you. But the best parents know that they need to exhibit a special kind of God-given love for their children that sometimes will defy logic. There's even a bigger challenge. And that comes when the kids have grown up and left the nest to establish their own homes. It's then that we as parents no longer have a legitimate say in what they do. At times they will make decisions that we may question. But when we choose to love them anyway, despite the fact that they may make some very poor choices, that is a godly love. It's tough then to allow our adult children who are grown and gone from the nest to make their own decisions without sometimes wanting to meddle. It is important that we don't do that. I tell you one thing, when you decide not to meddle, you know what it does? It cranks up your prayer life. Because when you can't do anything else, you can always pray. As we pray, we're able to release the fixum tendency, or what therapy calls the writing reflex. We don't have to fix our children or anyone else. We simply need to give them to God. Instead of trying to force people to change, we can simply release them to be themselves. That means practicing healthy boundaries for self-protection when needed. By doing that, we be image bearers of God as we deeply bestow love and undeserved favor on them. But you know something? As Jesus told this story, he had several people in mind for each part in the story. The prodigal son represents all those in the crowd who had rebelled against God and recognized their need to once again come home. The older son represents the self-righteous ones who thought that they, above all else, deserved God's love. And of course, the real hero in the story is the father. And he represents our amazing Heavenly Father. By the way, our Heavenly Father gives us freedom to fail too as well. He also gives us the freedom to choose to come home. The moment we turn our steps toward Him, listen to this, He rushes out to meet us with open arms. That's what our Heavenly Father does. John 3:16 includes the promise that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. God gives us the freedom to believe. God gives us the freedom to choose Him without coercion. Our Heavenly Father also models forgiveness. He forgives all our sins when we come in humbleness before Him. The Bible says He separates our sin from us as far as the east is from the west. And He chooses to remember it no more against us. Ephesians 4:32 urges us to be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as Christ has forgiven you. So our Heavenly Father has bestowed favor on us beyond belief. He stopped at nothing, even to the extent of allowing His only Son to die on the cruel cross of Calvary for us. He does that in order to grab us from the clutches of the evil one. Romans 3:25 says, "For God sent Christ Jesus to take the punishment for our sins." Now today's story is often labeled the prodigal son. The word prodigal means reckless, spendthrift, one who spends out of control. But our focus today is not on the prodigal, it's on the father. The father's actions are a picture of how God lavishes His grace, lavishes His forgiveness on us. He does so more than we ever deserve. Truly, God's amazing grace is our greatest hope. So remember, freedom, forgiveness, and favor are great gifts to give your children, but also to give to anyone, spouse, friend, neighbor, relative, co-worker, whoever it may be. Becoming the father you were meant to be is a journey of small steps. You are never too old to learn and to make changes where needed. When there are a few course corrections along the way, then that means you need to be willing to follow in those steps. Then progress through the other areas so that you can be the parent that God wants you to be. Changes may seem awkward at first and will require persistence and a devoted effort. If you do this, you will be successful in your journey to be the parent and the friend that God wants you to be. The example we are to follow is that of our Heavenly Father. We're reminded of that in our closing hymn. The title of that hymn is "How Deep the Father's Love." As we sing that hymn, think about the words as you sing them. And remember, He wants us to extend that same kind of love to others that we come in contact with, and the challenge that we may face in doing that very thing.